Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Podcast episode number 77. Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan from St. Mary's Club. I'm joined by Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davins, Sean Smith from Tour de Sarsfields, and Colin Purcell from Clonmalogue. Where else could we start today with Tipperary's, I won't say annihilation, but a draw being at the hands of Clare last Sunday. So we took a week off the podcast just to recover from the shell shock. Tipperary all but out of the championship. I think, you know, it's fair to say that we are out. Well, gents, what do we think of that? How bad was it?
Yeah, I started off there. To be honest, for me, the worst part was the feeling of hopelessness after 15 minutes. You know, like we touched on it last week, that can we bring the same performance and attitude and determination and aggression from the Waterford game into the Clare game? And it was a horror show from the get-go, you know. And I think it was one of them days, like, look, I've been part of games where everything goes wrong and it's just, you want the ground to swallow you up. Like, but this isn't a county, like, they're prepared almost professionally, like, you know. And to go out the way they went out and to go down the way they went down was just a complete disaster, like, you know. And the tactics were wrong, the attitude was wrong, I think the tempo was wrong. And you know, like, it was just, after 20 minutes, I don't think there was, to be honest, after 20 minutes, I don't think there was a Tip fan in Semple Stadium that was angry. I think they were just broken. You know, that's how I felt in Semple Stadium there last week.
I was looking, you know, words kind of in the intro for this podcast today, and I was talking about using the word annihilation, but then I look back at the report, and we only lost by 8 points, but, you know, look, I think most of us were there. It felt like a lot of a bigger beating than that, you know, and we tied down a few scores, did. As you said, around the 20-25 minute mark, there was shell shock in the stands there.
Yeah, absolutely. But we were 12 points down there at one stage, halfway through the second half, and it should have been 20. Easy. You know, like, to come away with an 8 point, defeat, it doesn't sound so bad. Like, Dip shouldn't be getting bet like that. But they were 20 points better than us on the day. You know, it is, the scoreline is masking over the actual performance. Like, Clare could have brought on the 16s there at halftime, and they would have saw out the game. Like, they should have been that far ahead. It was absolute horrific. It was.
Sean, would you concur with what Stephen was saying there, or are you going to offer us a glimmer of light?
Oh, I concur. I was in Rome myself, watching in a pub, sat at a bar. Who sat beside me? Clare lad, like, grand. I might have a bit of crack with him. After 20 minutes, I was like, lad, I'll not say it. Like, he was actually kind of embarrassed. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, it's one of the worst first half performances I've seen in a long, long time. Like, we're there. Then to take in the pub, a few other Tip lads with us there over the weekend were saying, like, the lads are kind of looking back at the 70s era, like, when we weren't winning games. Like, that's, they're comparing to that. Like, that's how off it was. And as Stephen said there, the scoreline at the end, Second half did kind of rally a bit, but it was too late. Clare were home and host. There was no two ways about it.
And you know, Colm, I suppose one of the things on the podcast, one of the feedback we love hearing feedback from our listeners was, you know, in a review of the Waterford game, that, you know, it was felt like we were going a bit easy on the players and on Tip. You know, like basically the comment was, we're not Laois. Do you think we're any better than Laois or played any better than Laois last Sunday? That's an honest question.
Well, the honest answer is yes, of course we're better than Laois. To be honest, Kevin, we are better than Laois. And it's funny you should say that, because I met my brother-in-law after the game, and a big fan of the podcast as well. And he said to me, what the F are you going to say on the podcast after watching that? And I said to him, well, what do you want us to say? And he said, that's not good enough for Tipperary hurling, what we saw there today. And I couldn't disagree with him. Now, like, you don't want to use the word annihilation. I will use the word annihilation, because it was an annihilation, to be honest with you. I don't remember a worse first half of hurling, Kevin. And I don't even remember us ever going in. Was it 12 or 13 points we were behind at halftime?
We were 7 points at halftime, whatever, Clare were three. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever remember us hurling as bad in the first half. Now, I suppose, look, we've spoken about this before, and it's probably worth maybe reiterating again and put things into a small bit of perspective. Like, we've lost Brendan Maher, we've lost Pawdy, we've lost Shamey Callanan, Bubbles, Niall O'Mara, Willie Connors, you know, all these players. And so we were all prepared to give Colm Bonner, you know, and still are, I certainly still am, cut him a little bit of slack on this, you know, because a lot of that stuff was out of his control. But you still expect the team to be fit and focused and fired up for the job, Kevin. And the team didn't look that way throughout that match. You know, there seemed to be no semblance of a game plan whatsoever. I mean, in the first half, when we were playing against the wind, we afforded Clare so much space. They seemed to drag us out all over the field. I mean, you're sitting in the stand there, and I mean, none of us claim to be experts, but I mean, it was as plain as the nose in our face that we needed to change the tactics a little bit, like, and we didn't. And that's a little bit baffling, you know, and that's a little bit disappointing, you know. So, like, and maybe just about, you know, you mentioned Laois, and, you know, I just want to mention the Waterford game as well, because you asked, were we a little bit too easy on the team after the Waterford game? And I think I was maybe the one person who was a little bit more disappointed than others after the Waterford game, because I really felt that was an opportunity lost for us. I thought that was a game that we were, you know, seven or eight points in front ourselves, and going down the stretch, we had a chance and we didn't take that chance. And the big question then was, could we replicate the performance against Waterford, against Clare? And we emphatically didn't. And that's very, very disappointing.
Could be a grain of truth in that maybe we believed the hype with Waterford, you know, the league hype about them being, you know, the only real challengers for Limerick and all the rest of what we saw. You know, Limerick beat Waterford 30 scores to 23. And I think that was a fair reflection of where Waterford are. So, yeah,
but have Kevin, a point in that. Yeah, and maybe just to make another point, if you don't mind, please. The point about our league form. Like, any of us who were at the league games, you know, there in the springtime, like, they were poor performances in most of the cases. You know, we don't have to go back over it, but we probably hurled one good half of hurling in the whole league. And we brought that form completely into the Clare game, you know, and all the uncertainties that we had. I mean, our midfield, we would have highlighted our problems with our midfield on the podcast before. Am I right in thinking that in the two games, all four midfielders have been taken off now? You know, that's I'm not sure what we did. Like, I'm not sure what the purpose of the league was, because we don't seem to have a settled team. Now, I know we've lost lots of players, but we still have a panel of 25 or 30 players, and we're still fiddling around with who should be where. I mean, we when we lost our full-back, unfortunately, through injury, James Quigley, to me, the move there was probably to bring Barry Heffernan back into the full-back line, or even put Ronan back full-back. And we bring in Brian McGrath, who had one game in the league, and he got, you know, to my recollection, he got roasted in the league at full-back. So there's a lot of strange decisions, and it's easy to see why fans were scratching their heads at half-time and, you know, almost despairing at full time about the whole thing.
Just building on that then, Stephen, you know, I think two of the lads have come out with some degree of credit would be Kyle Barrett and Craig Morgan in cornerbacks. But, you know, a lot of that, I think, was from the first chat half, as Colm said. Everything was just basically short into them, try run it out. But they were just clear were just set up. They were able for them. They were turning the ball over, more ball over as the half progressed, but it was just so evident that Tipperary plan A definitely wasn't working. But plan, you know, there didn't seem to be a plan B there as well. midfield was a complete dysfunction. But, you know, 7 points in one half of hurling, I think only two of our starting forwards scored. I mean, it's just the, like, for, like, you know, for the next couple of years, we'll get onto it in a while, but the omens aren't good. Like, how, you know, how bad were we last Sunday, I suppose, is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, I think there was an element of, look, I know there's not a new lads there and the management. And I think there was, what struck me was, it was an element, there could be an element of small club mentality. And I'll explain what I mean by that. They had a couple of months to prepare for the Watford game. They were up first. They were high. Everyone, like, we were flaking into Watford. Like, the intensity, the aggression was there. The emotion, like, you're spending months emotionally getting ready for that game. And then the turnaround of a week, we wasn't there emotionally. We wasn't there mentally at all. On the game, when you mentioned Carl Barrett and Craig Morgan, I not fully, I suppose, because everyone is part of the team, but I give the full backline a little bit of a free pass on this, because our full backline, our half backline, were 50 yards up the field from it. The green grass that you could see between the full backline and half backline was crazy. And you're thinking there, Jesus, if I was a forward, if I was any way good, wouldn't you love that space?
Like, it was probably the just coming across, like, probably the slowest player on the pitch, Sean Conlon, loved that space, you know, running in for the second goal.
But,
you know,
if you're a forward, especially at inter-county level, if you're getting good quality ball off your fellas out the field who have time and space, 2 yards is massive in at inter-county level, you know. And what disappointed me on the tactics side of things was our half forward line, our half back line pushed all the way out the field, out past the 50. So, right, I'm thinking, right, if you're going to play a risky hurling like that, the middle third has to be crowded. So you have to have the half back line, the midfield, and the half forward line between the 55 and the 65. Our half forward line was basically inside the 50. The distance, the area of the pitch was too big, and cleared one little hand pass, and then a free man was delivering ball into their forward line. And it was just, tactics-wise, it was terrible to see it. Now, I know players, especially the half-back line and the boys behind them, they have to be saying, lads, you need to come back down the field. You need to support us a little bit more. But if you're being trained a certain way and you're being told to do certain things, like that, a lot of that has to go to the management then as well. You know,
was that you're on the field in the white heat of Munster Championship hurling? Is that, I suppose, a symptom of the leaders that we lost? You know, it was an unsettled, maybe building on the point that we didn't use the league correctly in hindsight and not notice all, but maybe we didn't have the leaders on the team to actually notice what was going on, getting dragged way too far up the field, and that was a major cause of I suppose the complete malfunction in the team.
Absolutely, I said this years ago on Premier View when Noel first broke onto the team, and Shamey was like, Shamey didn't break onto the team, the superstar that we know him today. Like, it takes time to build for leaders to develop, you know, and you need the dark days as well. Like, but what Tipperary have lost in Brendan Maher, in Paddy Maher, and Shamey himself, like, they're natural born leaders. These are lads that if they ask you to do something, you do it because they'll do it. You know, like, they know, like, relax, calm down, lads. We're under a bit of pressure. Just, you know, like, they've been there, they've done all that. And I think what makes them such great horrors is they are such great leaders as well. Not only being, you can be a fantastic horror all you want, when the chips are down, you need to be a leader. And those boys are. And we missed them big time. Not only the hurling bit, we missed the leadership big time. And I don't think the newer, our newer crop, I'd say, like the likes of John McGrath, Jason Ford, I don't think they have the same leadership qualities that the lads before them. And it's shown big time.
I'd echo that there. Like, there's a time on the field, kind of, well, it wasn't that one. It washed back the match back then. There's no kind of one, like, even to say, come on, tough fuck, kind of a general kind of rally the troops. Come on, lads, clear beating us out the gate here. You know, there's no sort of drive from anyone. Like, even you see Shamey often in the forward line, he looked back at the back to say, come on, lads, hit the ball in, give me the ball. Like, you know, hunger, show something. Like, but as I say, like, we lost so many players over the years, and over the year, Gascon, but, like, no one stepped in to even take that on or take the mantle on, but it is rebuilding, and even more last now, again, for the weekend, like.
And again, I think, yeah, no, that's definitely one thing I suppose it was probably a bit frustrating, or very frustrating about last Sunday. But how also, I suppose, the performance of the forwards as well, which just is, you know, 7 points in the first half, 213 and a lot of wides in the second half, you know, 2-9 in the second half, you know, probably should have had a couple more goals. Is, I suppose, our forward kind of play, which, you know, for the last probably decade has been a hallmark of Tipperary hurling. You know, how worrying was that for you as well?
Well, I suppose, Kevin, like, and again, this goes back to the league, and we've mentioned this a few times ourselves, like, we are trying to implement a new system of playing, okay? And we seem to be caught, to me anyway, we seem to be caught between two stools. We don't seem to have a short game or a long game. We're trying to play some sort of a hybrid game, and it doesn't seem to be suiting anybody, either our backs or our forwards. And even, you know, to move maybe to the other end of the field for a second, like, our puck outs completely malfunctioned as well. I mean, we seem to have two options. Spend, you know, a minute or two looking to puck the ball out to a corner back, and then we were pucking it to his feet as opposed to into his hand, and that was inviting pressure on. Or else we were driving the ball long and getting cleaned out in our half, you know, getting cleaned out in our half forward line. So the quality of the ball that was going to the forwards was bad anyway. And then, as the lads have said, we seem to lack leadership in our forward line, and a very little cohesion up there as well. And I mean, you know, everything I say here, I do temper with the fact that it has been very tough for Colin Bonner. We've all been involved with teams where things have gone bad, and we've had to listen to guys. It's easy for us to sit in the sand and snipe, and I do accept that. And this isn't in any way to be personal about it to anybody. But I mean, as a supporter, you know, as I said earlier on, the least you expect when you go is that, you know, everybody will give 100% on the field, and there's a certain level expected, I think, when Tipperary hurlers take the field. And to me, that was just, it was lacking last Sunday. Was there the week before against Waterford, I don't dispute that, and as Stephen has said, and he's right, they were obviously clearly up for that game, you know, and had been targeting that game. And I think that's why, you know, I was a little disappointed leaving Welsh Park, in that I thought, yeah, we may just have left that one behind, you know. And looking going forward, I mean, we heard the news today that Jason Ford is going to be out for the Limerick game, so, and John McGrath unfortunately has a long-term injury, so that's two of our leading lights in the forwards who are going to be missing for the next game as well. But just I suppose lastly on the forwards, in fairness, I thought Mark Kehoe had a good game. You know, he's created a fair few chances for himself in both games. Has been a little bit unlucky maybe not to plunder one or two more goals.
But no, I think that he was, just like to come across, I think his finishing was just too poor for Intercounty there. I think he had a couple of chances to maybe get us back into the game, but...
Yeah, he did, Kevin, but he was under a little bit of pressure, in fairness to him. And, you know, I thought he kept showing for the ball, and he was winning a little, you know, he was winning some ball himself. So, you know, like, we are trying to take some positives out of this, and I wouldn't put Mark Yeo in completely in the negatives yet. But I would take the point that the forwards as a whole malfunctioned, and the figures that you're mentioning there, you know, 7 points in the first half, and was it 2-9 or whatever it was in the second half. That's not going to win you any match. There's no point in saying that now. It's just not going to win you any match.
I agree with that. I just want to touch on a couple of points there, and I start with Mark Kehoe. I think Mark Kehoe now needs to, when the ball is handed, Mark Kehoe needs to be, right, this is my arena now. You know, there was a couple of occasions there where he had the ball in hand, and I think inter-county pace, that ball should have been gone over the bar. And there was one, he was running across the goal, he had 2 or 3 yards, I mean, probably only about 40 yards out. And he tried to give a hand pass to Jake Morris. And it was, like, that was shamey. That was over the bar. And that's when I think for Mark to progress and to be what we want him to be is when he snaps that ball into his hand, he's thinking, if the shot is on, take the shot. You know, I think, like, just being nice and handing off the ball has to stop. He has to be a little bit more ruthless and selfish, for want of a better word. I want to touch on the puck outs. This is something that gave me real ire last week. Now we have to draw a line under long puckouts in Tipperary. We are not good at receiving. We cannot. We there's probably not one hurler in Tipperary.
That's basic. You know, that's the basic skill of the game.
It's the basic, and I believe in it that it has to be like it should be coached from 12 up. Every training session in every club in Tipperary should have 15 minutes set aside where the keeper is just launching balls down and lads are competing for it, because we are brutal at it. We are brutal at it in Tipperary hurling. We can't do the basics of receiving the puck. Like, if let's no, maybe not this year, but go back a couple of years ago. If you were pucking out a ball to TJ Reid, you'd say, "Ah, oh, geez, he's going to catch this ball."
Yeah.
And we say that about Tipperary hurler. When was the last time we said it about Tipperary hurler? You know, we can't. We have to go back so far from it. Like, but on our puckouts, read the stats there somewhere that we actually did okay on the short ones. Now I know what Colin touched on; they were going to feet, but in fairness to Kyle Barrett and Craig, they dealt with it. They got the ball into hand and they moved it. Now, where it broke down was the half forward line was so far up the field. But on the puckouts, Ryan Hogan spent so much time looking at the free man. Claire dropped back the men, so they marked the space. He spent so much time looking at the cornerbacks, the full back, and the half back who were free. Spent ages, at an eternity, it felt like, looking at it. And then decided, nope, I'm going long. As one or two occasions there, Carl Barrett was free, Craig Moran free, and Dylan Quirk was free. It was Dylan or Shea, one of them were under the stand. Now, to hit the half back, he had to hit it out over the corner forward, which most inter-county keepers should be able to do. And no, I'm not doing any of that. And he launched a big high ball down on top of Michael Breen with three lads hanging out. Like, that stuff now is down to management. That needs to be eradicated. Like, if you're not going to go out on a hurling wall, short grip a hurley and absolutely leather the ball 50 yards like an arrow, then he has to be removed out. Like, I know I'm being harsh on him, like, but he's an inter-county hurler and his reverted type is just launching it. Well, Tipperary can't catch a ball, so they need to stop launching it. I know I'm ranting now because to stirring up the anger.
I just think you have to mix it up, and I'd welcome others come in there as well, because, you know, as I said, like Morgan and Barrett, they were actually, you could see him tiring at the end of the first half from actually receiving the ball, coming in, probably looking for contact or getting some sort of contact, little hand pass, kind of going again, like, you know, but then it probably did end up being launched up to a half forward line or thereabouts that wasn't winning it then. Anyway, yes, there has to be a bit of variation. I'd be saying, yes, the short puckers have to be spot on. I would give Hogan a bit of a pass because, you know, I do think he made two worldly saves that were, you know, kind of overlooked because there was a clear man just there both times to tap the ball in, like, you know. So in that regard, what more can he do? But, like, yeah, I just think overall we need a lot more variation in our puckouts, like, you know.
But this stems back to not just now. It's like for years, like we're saying, oh, who had been half forwarding less than we're like lads saying, oh, Bonner hit the ball down top, Bonner. Was he catching him? Maybe not. Was he breaking it? That was about it. Like TD Reid is exceptional. Like this comes from, it's not just a Bonner problem. Like this is just from, we've known to win the ball in half forwarding midfield. It's simple as that. Like,
but like you look, you take away Barr Limerick, who have obviously, like, you know, three very good athletes in their half forward line, whatever way they line up, like how many balls are being caught clean from pockets now in inter-county? Like, I don't have the stats to hand, but, you know, it is, as you say, more that you're competing for the second ball. You know, when the ball goes loose or whatever, that you're alive and energetic enough around that to make something of it happen there. It's not, you know, you very rarely see now ball being plucked straight out of the air in the inter-county game. I'm just trying to think of the Galway-Kilkenny game last Sunday. How many times did it happen, you know? One, I can think of one or two great catches, but like, could be wrong, Kevin, there now.
The top teams at the moment are, you know, they're playing this almost rugby style game where they're moving the ball through the lines, like, so they're pucking, if they're going short, they're pucking to the corner back, he's finding the wing, the half back to the midfielder, and then they're trying to deliver ball into the forwards. As I said earlier, I'm not sure what sort of style Tipper are playing. I don't know if we've settled on it at all, like, and you know, so the debate in my head is, okay, do we copy what everybody else is doing? Is that what we're trying to do? Or do we try and come up with our own style of play? Like, why are we trying to copy everybody else if we're not able to play it, or if we don't have the players to play it? And sometimes you have to hold your hands up and say, we just simply don't have the players at the moment. You know, and that's hard. You know, it's unpalatable and it's hard to say, but maybe, Jesus, we just don't have the players at the moment. And as I said earlier on, like, in fairness to the management team, like, the players that they've lost and the leaders that they've lost, you know, and you know, I think it was Stephen who mentioned about Mark Yeo there earlier on, you know, taking the wrong option once or twice. We all remember back in 2010 when Bonner was starting out, famously against Wexford, he took a wrong option going in for a shot. And Lara and Owen Kelly were over to him straight away, you know, berating him and telling him what to do, you know, the next time. And we don't have a Lara, we don't have an Owen Kelly, we don't have a forward leader at the moment. As we said in the podcast several times before, we really don't have a go-to man now in that forward line. Somebody who you can put the ball down on top of and they'll manufacture a score, they'll get a free or they'll do whatever. So I think that's another problem. And it goes back to the point you made earlier, Kevin, about our forward play in general. We're one of the only counties now who really doesn't have a marquee forward in my mind. There's, you know, and even, you know, our free taking even this year seems to have struggled as well. We seem to have missed quite a few frees. That's in my mind anyway, that we seem to be missing frees that normally we would have been nailing before. And as I said, now with Jason being out for the Limerick game, that's another complication.
Yeah, and in fairness, look, the last few years, Ford was bulletproof, you know, and I was the one absolutely calling for him to take over from Callan on the frees, because Callan himself used to kind of miss, you know, an odd one. Like, and at that level, you can't be giving any team, you know, you can't be letting them off the hook with a free taker. We certainly did a couple of cases down in Walsh Park and a couple of cases on Sunday earlier. You know, ones, now Clare missed a couple of bad ones themselves, you know, which, as I said, like it was an 8-point defeat, but it felt like more and it should have been more. But like, yeah, all those little things, you know, when you add them up, it shows that, you know, we're just that little bit off the pace. Maybe a couple of last things that maybe would you see Jar Brown's performance when he kind of got into the game as a positive for Tip. And you've mentioned the marquee forwards, and you know, for a couple of years now, Jake Morris has been seen as the heir to Seamus Callan. I'm not quite sure that it's going to work out for Jake at the very top level. I think that, you know, he might need to kind of go back to basics, just hard work and try kind of get himself into a game a bit more, because I think certainly this year in the two games so far, it hasn't happened for him.
Yeah, Joe Brown. Sorry, go on, Steve. Yeah.
What? No, no. I'd agree with what you're saying. I wouldn't completely write them off. I think, I suppose, what we have to realize is, just touch on Jason Ford as well as an example. I think for them lads to excel, they need Shamie Callan and Bubbles and the like of these lads around them, because it takes a little bit of pressure off them. You know, like if Jason Ford is the go-to man for Tipperary now, Tip are focused on him. I don't think he's as mentally as strong as Shamie Callan to deal with that kind of pressure, you know. And like, the game is after getting a little bit quicker now. There's more running to it. Jason wouldn't have been blessed with as the most pacey fella. Like, hurling-wise, ability is up there with the best of them. Like, but I just think some players need others around him to excel. Like, Shamie was able to learn from Owen Kelly, Dark Harbert. He was able to take his time to get to the level that he got because he had them men around him. Now, Jake Morris, Mackie Ho, and Jason Ford, they don't have them men now, you know. So they're learning on their feet, basically. Like, you know what I mean? And we're comparing them to some of the greats in the game, and I don't think we're going to see those type of hurlers for a long, long time, those type of forwards for a long, long time to Brary.
Well, folks, it does get easier from here on in, because, you know, we'll probably have to leave their analysis there. Now we're looking forward to the Limerick game, the All-Ireland champions in their backyard. It's a must win for Tipperary, right?
Looking forward. Is that what you said? Jesus.
Yeah, well, Tipperary never feared Limerick, as maybe the new season goes. So, Sean, give us your game plan now that'll get us a win on Sunday and get us back into the mix.
Oh, find a team first. I don't know what team we're going to pick for this, to be honest. Forward wise, you're between Breen, Noel, Conor Bow, Kyo, Jake Morris, Brown, Conor Stakeland. That's what is it? Out of them seven? Is that the...
Yeah, and look at Conor Stakeland, like one that I do think had a good impact on last Sunday, but I don't think you can expect him to last 70 minutes. You know, like you saw it in the under-20s game there, like, you know, they're all gassed, half of them are pulling up with cramp and stuff. Like, so the conditioning does take a couple of years in inter-county hurling, but like, I don't know, will Conor Bow be back? Are Odo Connor were to start?
Are we caught for full back now? Is it back to the whole, who's our full back? This is
Ronan, maybe back here. In Ronan there.
Yeah, then
Harry Heffernan. Yeah, it's a sticking plaster, isn't it? I mean, you're again, if you're in on Galan there, like you need your half back line sitting right back on top of you as well. If you're a rookie fullback,
I suppose if Galan is their go to man, really, you think they're the main man, you'd be putting Carl Barrett, I think, on him again. I think pace alone is helping our full back line. You know, I know we're caught there the last, but the pace alone that Barrett will bring, plus, you know, Barrett has a bit of cutting about him, like, you know what I mean? And you don't want a fella just chasing Galan. You want a fella up his backside and getting in his ear, and you know, and when he's busting out with the ball, he's busting out with intent, like you're getting in his way and mow you down. That's what you kind of want. And I suppose all the doom and gloom I'm speaking about, and I was ranting there, giving out earlier, but then the unfortunate thing, in a little bit of hope creeps back in then going into the Limerick game of all teams, like, and you know, you're just, I was accused of a moral victory against Waterford there a few weeks ago because I respected the performance and the effort and all that. To be honest, I'll settle for the hunger, desire, the effort, the commitment, and just throw the kitchen sink at it. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I think if you go out and the game is over after 10, 15 minutes, like it was against Clare, I think then we're going to be in a very bad place for a long time, I think.
Yeah, you got to see this knockout hurdle scene. It's a knockout game for us. Like, even whatever player is going to feel, just show a bit of desire and passion. You know, like just give us something to kind of cling on to, is the word, you know. Not to be there at halftime again, kind of looking around saying, where's the exit, like, you know, or what's going on. You know, but the players on the field are going to get a chance. Like,
to get in that position, we need to be perfect. As in, no wides, get your matchup right. You know, that would be a complete turnaround from the last two outings.
Yeah, it'll be a massive turnaround. Now, I do think, look, I suppose maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but I do think our performance against Clare as well was a case of what can go wrong will go wrong. You know, John McGrath went off an Achilles injury early in the game. I think it was the first goal Clare scored. The man was running down the wing. I think it was Ronan was chasing him, and Dan May came in to clean him out. Missed the Clare man, took Ronan off his stride, and the two boys then kind of were about 15 yards behind then, you know. And like, I just, you know, the chips are down now. There's the whole world is against them because we're being brutal and no one has given us a chance. So I just hope to throw caution to the wind and fight for their lives, and whatever happens, happens. I, you know,
Bonner and Marr worth a twist.
I think what you need now is 1-15 absolutely working their socks off. I don't think there's probably room for one or two nice hurlers, I call it, but you want everyone absolutely dying for the jersey at the weekend, and just, you know, if they carry half them off the field because they're spent after whatever, so be it. Like, you just want them to run each other into the ground for the 70 minutes.
Go on, Colin, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Sean. My fear is that Limerick have been waiting for this since 2009. You know, and that day in Crow Park was a very, very happy day for all of us. Like, you know, and like, you know, and there, you know, I would have that little fear on Sunday. I'd like to share Stephen's optimism. We were kind of joking off air there, as they say in the business, about it. But I can't see anything other than a Limerick win here on Sunday, you know, and a convincing Limerick win, to be honest with you. I think good and very good tip teams have struggled to go to Limerick in the past and get a result. And I think a tip team, shorn of, you know, we've spoken about seven or eight lads that we've lost this year, and now the news of, as we said, about Jason and John McGrath.
Shorn of confidence.
And a couple of injury doubts over.
Shorn of confidence as well, I think.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely shown a confidence. You know, and you know, even talking to a few people this week, the match is barely registering in people's consciousness, to be honest with you. I think people are, I don't want to say they've given up on it, but they're, you know, they're almost afraid to talk about it. It's kind of behind closed doors and behind closed curtains that people are mentioning it, because I think there's a genuine fear among people, among the match-going public, that this could turn nasty. Now, look, the other side of that is if somehow we manage to pull off a victory, I think it'll go down in the annals as one of our greatest of all time. But look at it, I have to nail my, I hope I can come back next week if I'm asked back on to say I was completely wrong, but I really do fear the worst for us on Sunday. But I hope some of that old Tipperary spirit that never say die, die for the jersey, I hope that comes in. And as the lads have said, we can get at least a performance to be proud of. Because I think that's all that people ask for,
And we're probably playing a Limerick as well. It has to be mentioned without Keane Lynch and Kyle Hayes, which are two of the pillars of, of their system and that. But are we really looking at to stay with them until about 50 minutes and then, hope for the best? I'd expect them to to pull away late on. Are we really back to looking for a moral victory, or is there any actually semblance of it? Sit down, right tactical plan, we can rattle them. Because look, to be honest, even at our best, this Limerick team has something over Tipperary.
Yeah, I don't think a tactical plan is going to win this one for us, because Limerick are so far ahead in their preparation and execution of their own tactics that look. Tipper, no, it's going to take Colin Bonner a year or two to get things right, whatever we want. I think this game is purely emotional. I know you should never play a season on emotion, because if you're relying on emotions, when they're gone, they'll be there for a game. But I think Colin Bonner needs the speech of a lifetime now going into this Limerick game, and I hope emotion has these lads running around crazy like they've never ran before, hooking and blocking and fighting. And I'd like to see three or four brawls nearly, just because
you wonder that, Stephen, though. I think that could bring us close enough at half time, but then you just look at lads like maybe even a month like Munster final like last year, you go out second half and you're absolutely tanked,
maybe so, but. Like, as I said myself, the little bit of hope creeps in there, and I know myself I'm wrong, but this is a finely tuned, excellent Limerick team. Let's be honest, they are brilliant. We're coming off the back of two losses. One was an absolutely atrocious loss, horrific, and we've lost two more players going into it. We're barely treading water now when it comes to retirements. Injuries. For me, if we got a similar performance to last year and we died a debt with 15-20 minutes, I think that's probably the best we're going to get.
We are at the stage now with injuries and unavailabilities where, when this 26 is released or whatever, they'd be looking to see was anyone actually just called up to the panel at this stage, from the under 20s or whatever, because. How many extra lads can you bring? Yeah. 32, 30, to bring on it. It can't be overstated how many players we are down. The other side of it is, will we be seeing some of those players again? The likes of Bonner, the likes of Shamie Callanan, because we are definitely in a rebuilding phase. I didn't want to use the phrase, transition at the start of it, at the start of this this podcast series at the start of the year, because it implies that you're going somewhere or that there's an end point. And I'm just not so sure how long it's going to take us to get back.
Kevin, if I could just pick up on that point, and something that I would have said as well earlier in the year, the one thing I hoped for this year, and I'll segue into the match on Sunday with this, the one thing I would have hoped for this year is that we stayed relevant, right? And if we're badly beaten on Sunday, We're an irrelevance at the moment, completely. If you look at Kilkenny, right? I hate benchmarking myself against him or fucking putting them on any pedestal at all. But look, they're in a similar rebuilding stage to us, and they eke out a Leinster Championship win. They might eke out a National Hurling League win. They'll get to semi-finals. They'll go up to Salt Hill last Sunday, and they'll lose by a point, and probably could have, should have, would have maybe got a draw out of it. We're talking about going down to Limerick on Sunday, having been, tanked by Clare, trying to restore a bit of pride. But, you're saying, will we be in it after 50 minutes? For a second, I thought you said, will we be in it after 15 minutes? And I wasn't going to contradict you on it. Because That's how fearful I am.
I haven't got them, but even I'm not that pessimistic. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, but I'm not trying to be pessimistic, Kevin, but no. I'm trying to be realistic. And I mean, like I said, like, you know, before the Waterford game, we were talking about this and I said, you know, you have to go on the evidence here. And the evidence of our hurling this year says Limerick are going to tonk us on Sunday. And there's fucking nobody in Tipperary more so than me that hopes I'm
wrong. I just think that Limerick are too boring to even consider getting it over, you know, getting it done. I just think that, you know, they'll just go for the points and maybe open us up later on. Thankfully, I hope they're not listening to this now, like, you know, John Kiley up there in the principal's office in Tipptown. Like, but, you know, it's just, I just think that they're very methodical and they'll just go for the points and they'll grind us in. You know, they could hit 30 scores. I see it on Sunday, and it won't even be unusual for them, I think. Like, you know,
where are we going to get the 30 scores from? You know,
and
John McGrann, Ford gone now as well. It's just... That's why I just hope it's an old throwback to the old blood and thunder and just flake that's into it, them for as long as we can.
Play with pride. Just play with pride. You know, if you ask me who's going to win on Sunday, though, Kevin, I'm going to say Tip. I'm not going to say it. I couldn't say that.
If you're asking for prediction. We have a great chance in the primary game. But lads, you know, as Colin said, it does feel a bit like, you know, the sun was shining on Sunday, sitting down watching Galway. Well, certainly wasn't shining in Salt Hill. This championship is going on without us, whether we like it or not. Clare got, you know, whatever we said about Clare, we all said that Clare, we had to be Clare, you know, for us to stay relevant in this championship. We didn't. On the other side of that now, Clare are now flying, you know, backed it up with a win against Cork. Cork are in serious trouble as well. What do you think of that game?
Cork are like ourselves at the moment. I was talking to their lads. But when the Ferris Centre from action, they are just down out there. They're feeling like ourselves. Like, Clare annihilated them. Like, they were... It was embarrassing, to be honest. Like, it was as bad as the first half as we had as well against Clare. So, I know what it is. Cork,
I think it was worse, Sean, because they had an awful performance against Limerick. I think ours came out of the blue a bit. But for Cork, they went out there needing to be, you know, needing to show something against Clare. And as we kind of look... I caught him a bit of slack on his podcast before, but, you know, they showed absolutely nothing once again.
Clear walkthrough. You could have put Durinaz in the first half, but the walkthrough was easy. It was scandalous. Like, Cork now were back again. Like, and they showed something in league, kind of saying they're off what air on. Like, you know, they showed something in league. I thought maybe they had something coming in this one championship. But after seeing them now, and like, ourselves and them playing the last round, and I don't think there's much happening to beat a few handful up in the stadium, that'd be it.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like it could well be a dead rubber on all known form at the moment. The other big game then again, you know, Leinster is really a case of 3 from 4. So, you know, that mini league between Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin and Wexford is very important. So that's, you know, it's a crucial last minute free from Galway to get the win there, having drawn with Wexford. We won't bother with the handshake kind of theatrics. But Stephen or Colin, what do you think of Galway there? They looked well in control, and then Kilkenny being Kilkenny, as you said, kind of almost rescued it.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm, but it seems Galway have always have an issue with that goalkeeper. Am I wrong in suggesting that?
Because
that was terrible, I thought. A terrible goal conceded there towards the end. Now, I know he's getting a little bit of credit for the puck out after, but like, that's a bread and butter save. You'd be thinking to an inter-county keeper, and then game over. No issue, no controversy around the free, you know. But look, I suppose to Galway, they find ways to make it hard on themselves. And they're probably, I suppose, when it comes to the physicality, they're probably the closest side to Limerick physically. And I don't know. I hate to say it, but I probably have to throw me lot in with Galway this year and hope they topple Limerick.
Yeah, look, they couldn't have been worse under Shane O'Neill the last couple of years, you know, which was just an appointment that just didn't work. So they had a hot and cold league, and they seem to be building nicely there. That win now almost guarantees them a passage through Leinster. So yeah, they might have a say yet, which is
and Henry will bring that. Big game experience. Like, Galway, for the talent they've had down the years, have underperformed. They've underdelivered for years. One All-Ireland, I was too young to remember when they were winning, when they won a couple of All-Irelands in the 80s or whatever it was, but one All-Ireland in all that time, when they had handy passages to an All-Ireland semi-final for years, that's a terrible return, like, you know, and just that's a mental thing for me. And you'd be thinking Henry would bring a little bit of experience in that regard.
I think Colm or Kilkenny correspondent there. Kilkenny look like they're heading for a knockout game against Wexford now in the last group game. Do you think the teams are maybe finding them a bit out?
Yeah, look, maybe. I mean, it'd be ironic if the big three are knocked out of the championship, you know, before early. You know, you could have Cork, Tip and Kilkenny conceivably gone if Wexford can do a number
2013 all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but to answer your question, have teams found Kilkenny out? I don't think, you know, I think it's a limited enough Kilkenny team. I think Kilkenny people themselves would tell you that. It's not the best team that they've ever put on the field. But, you know, I still have to have, a very grudging respect for them that they remain competitive the whole time. I mean, to go up to Salt Hill and be level after 73 minutes, having not played well, you know, you have to take your hat off to them, unfortunately. Like, you know, and they're not gone away or anything. And you know, they definitely could take a scalp, Kevin. They definitely are capable of beating somebody, you know, but they probably lack the one or two, again, you know, real standout players to win an All-Ireland. But they've unearthed a gem in young Cody there in the forwards. He looks like a very good player. You know, what we wouldn't give to have him, especially now that TJ seems to be at long last, going down the other side of the hill, maybe, you know. He was taken off on Sunday, you know, didn't look up to his normal self. But, you know, any team that Cody sends out will have grace, they'll have pride, they'll have that resilience, they'll have that battle hardiness.
Yeah,
all the stuff maybe that we're looking for next Sunday from our boys.
It might show where Kilkenny are that they are that reliant still on TJ Reid, who looks like his better days are past him, and that Cody is actually tolerating him, you know, like as a starter still, because he doesn't look like his former self yet. It might have been injury or illness there last Sunday, but you know, the last 18 months or so, but he might be better off as an impact sub maybe around the square. Final word on, I suppose, inter-county kind of senior would be, you know, do Laois and Westmeath, you know, see some of the scores coming out there, do they have a place in this kind of in this championship now? Like, is it doing anyone any good?
I'm glad you didn't include Tip in that, Kevin.
but Kerry will be asking for a playoff next year.
Look, it's a very thorny subject. I mean, if you exclude them, how do you ever develop the game in the counties? If you include them and they're getting how does that improve the game? You know, at the end of the day, there's 8 or 9 strong hurling counties, and that's always been the way. And every sort of suggestion and idea has been floated, and every initiative has been tried, and it just doesn't seem to be happening for those counties. And it is very unbalanced and disappointing to see those big scores being run up. And, you know, so I personally think myself that the format, and I've said it on the show before, the format as it is at the moment, I don't like, either in Munster or Leinster. I don't like this round robin situation at all. I prefer some sort of 2 groups of 4 or 2 groups of 5, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I just fear, Colin, you know, yeah, I'd agree. It just doesn't give them any chance.
No, it doesn't, Kevin. But I think there's more wrong with the format than just the Laois and the Kerrys of this world. I'm going away from the point a little bit, but I'm not a fan of this round robin. I'm not a fan of how it's been run at the moment. I think it's leading to a bit of fatigue and a bit of boredom among people as well. The games aren't knockout; they don't mean all that much, you know. So I think there's other issues that need to be fixed before we go looking at what to do with the Laois and the Westmeaths and the Carlos of this world, and almost the Tipperary's of this world, you know.
I think back to ourselves then. A few green shoots underage after a couple of poor years, some great performances, you know, midweek. Our minors, and I call the under-17s the minors, and, you know, if it's under-19 at club level or whatnot, but, you know, into a Munster final now, Tom Delaney, I think it was 112, 113 from play yesterday, looks a real kind of star in the making from Kerr. A lot of positives, just racked up such a great score against Waterford there, and some great play.
Yeah, it's very, very good viewing last night. It always almost looked like a challenge match. Tipper, where they were coasting so easily at times. And I suppose Tom Delaney, 112 from play, like, jeez, to score 112 from play in any, even in a club game, is phenomenal going. But in a Munster semi final, that's, you know, that's going to go down history in Semple Stadium. And what it'll do is, as well, is it'll inspire every young lad around the county, you know, to be hurling away, and particularly from small clubs. Like, and I don't mean to be disrespectful from towards KR, but if Tom Delaney was from Turles Arsfields and he scored 112, we'd say, like, you know, Turles Arsfields, man, you kind of nearly expect it from. But KR are a junior A club, you know, and they're trying to rebuild again and go, like, to have a young lad that good coming through your ranks, like, geez, that surely only lift all the rest of the town of Care, all
absolutely,
the young
players, like, Stephen, you know. And, like, you know, you do see that minor team, especially like the South clubs, you know, Ballyluby represented, you know, I think Federer there, Lesser Hurling Knights, like Carrick Swan also, like, you know, so.
I'm not going to comment on that, like, but I think, look, I suppose, look, there's a bit of snobbery to South Hurling down the years, you know, like, I know it's all in jest and good old crack and all that, like, but for these young lads from small clubs in South Tipperary to be strongly represented on tip panels, it is a good thing for Tipperary Hurling, because the stronger the South is, like, the mid, the west and the north, they're always going to be strong and competitive. The stronger we can get the South Hurling in Tipperary, the better it will be for Tipperary Hurling in general, I think. And I think it's brilliant for them boys. And fair play to the manager too. It is very easy to overlook a small club, a lad from a small club, you know, saying, ah, he's not playing to the highest standard at club level and etc. Like, but, you know, the talent is there, so he's picking them, and I think that's great.
I think that sometimes, I noticed with our own club, like, that sometimes the talent from what was, I suppose, under 17, under 18, up to under 21 level, it does concentrate around the under 21. Is in that sometimes maybe there some lads from smaller clubs, I don't know what it is, but they're losing a bit of development, maybe, you know, they're not training at the same level with the adult team at that stage. So you do tend to see some of the bigger clubs more represented at the under 21 stage, you know. And I'd love these lads to kind of go on, if we could, you know, get every club in Tipperary contributing, you know, sort of kind of like having a good chance of being involved. Maybe the answer is that is the Satanta set up, and, you know, having good schools in the hurling and that. I don't know. Sean, we won't dwell too long on the under 20s, because whatever we say will be out of date in about an hour and a half time, you know, with that throwing in. But Brendan Cummins, you know, he's done a very good job so far. Great win over Cork last week.
Yeah, it was a good win, and going to Limerick tonight, like, you know, expect something similar. I need to give him a go, that's for sure. Hopefully we're getting a report off end of there. Could maybe later on we'll throw it into this, but we're down to Limerick and we're a bit more kind of on, not kind of a down out as well going to Limerick than Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What definitely, you know, if they bring the work rate and the ethic and the energy that they did against Cork, you know, probably a slightly more fancy Cork side, you know, it was the real tonic that was needed after the display against Clare, like, you know, because I just thought the attack was ferocious stuff.
I think the other thing to note as well from this, Kevin, is that when we played Cork at the equivalent under 17, we lost by 12 points to them, you know, and I think Limerick beat us by 14 points or 15 points, if I'm not mistaken, when the teams met at under 17 level. Yeah. So, you know, in fairness to Brendan Cummins and his coaching team, they really have, you know, they've worked very hard with these players, and, you know, they've brought them on in their development an awful lot. And maybe the other point to make about it, I suppose, it does show sometimes that under 17 hurling or under 18 hurling comes with a small bit of a health warning, you know, that lots of factors can change and things can change between, you know, a lad playing under 17 and playing under 20 or under 21. And I think Galway are probably a testament to that, you know, and, you know, they've routinely win four or five minors in a row and don't go and win under 20, which is a whole lot of senior. And even I think Kerry had a marvellous minor team a few years ago that won four or five, and they've struggled at under 20 football afterwards, you know. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm delighted to see the under 17s win last night, delighted to see the under 20s in a Munster final tonight. It's great. It is the tonic that we needed, you know, but it does come with a small health warning for me. But absolutely, I don't think, you know, I think that that Cork game, sorry, Kevin, last week that we won, I don't think a Tipperary team ever, we're under almost as much pressure to win a game. We badly need to win a game there, like, you know, and we did, and that was great.
Even the Chile Miners, much heralded a couple of years ago, Colin, but not a word spoken about him since, so I'm
You're
right.
Yeah. The other thing as well, Kevin, if I could just mention, particularly when we're talking about underage, the Tipperary minor footballers are into a semi-final as well, which is great. I know John McNamara, who's on the other side of the sectarian divide to me and Colin Melville, I know John very well, and it's great to see him going so well there. And also the senior footballers, in case we don't get a chance to mention them much, you know, they went down to Waterford the week before last, got a win, now playing Limerick in the Munster semi-final and have a realistic chance to get to a Munster final. And we would have said on the start of the year, if they could get promotion and get to a Munster final, that would be a very good year for Tip footballers. So again, congratulations to Davey Power, Stephen's good friend there, Dave Power, and the management team.
He brought in as a performance coach, actually, Stephen.
Motivation, I think it is.
No, yeah, right. And look, there's a lot of action going on. So, like, you know, hopefully we'll have a bit more on the football. As you said, a great win against Waterford there. And, you know, John Maxman, they're into the final, what it is, in the last game of the round robin.
Right, final.
So if they win that, they'll be in a kind of a semi-final against the loser, the Cork Kerry game. But yeah, they've had some great performances. So hopefully it'll be great. You know, they've had some good wins so far on that, as you said. So it's a tough task. It's saying underage and Tip football at times, so we have to give them their dues. Folks, we might actually just touch on the county draws there. I see and Strikey, the Oireann, all I'd say is, like, any one of those 16 teams could qualify from the groups. You know, they're all groups of debts, and none of them are groups of debts. The Senior B competition is not Premier Intermediate there, because we're in the South Senior Hurling Championship this year, so we can't possibly be an intermediate team. So
I said it'll never call it Premier Media. Even talking lads on yesterday and drawing that, like, oh, the Oireann draws out. No, no one's going to call it Premier Media. Like,
I wouldn't know. I think it should be given its rightful name. Hey, do you know, like, as much as I didn't agree with the old boardroom change, I think they should have went the whole hog and did everything in the one go. The Premier Intermediate, there's a load of calling it that, and then having an intermediate group then as well behind us is a load of crap. It was they bottled it.
There's some tasty groups, and look, we'll probably be playing our club championship sooner than we would have hoped, but we might actually just touch on that in an upcoming podcast. We'll have plenty of discussion on the club game coming up. Some great, look, handy draw for Knockaville and the like as usual now. So I'm sure I'll be hot in Knockaville, as just like last year. Davin's with the group of debt, Sarsha's with a stroll, and the one home group is wide open there. So we might leave it there, lads, if it suits. Good hour, well done.
Lovely stuff.
Thanks, lads.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.